Okay, so could you just state your name and your ADC number for us for the record?
My name is Mun Van Nguyen. DMC is 089971.
Okay, so you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the three board members that will be conducting your hearing today, sir. To my far right is the Honorable Del Rittenhouse. Next to her is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair today, sir. I'm going to go over some information from you from your file and the paperwork that we actually have. If you would just give me a moment and I'll go through that. I also see that you have two supporters here today, sir.
Yes.
Bayon? Nguyen? Did I say that right?
Bowen.
Yep. Okay. And you are the nephew, and we also have Brad. And is anyone else here?
We're all here for him.
Okay, all right. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go over some information. Then after I go over that information, I'm going to go to Mr. Nguyen and then get some information from him. Then I'm going to come back to you to get any information that you'd like to present before the board. Then the board will go into a discussion and make a decision, okay? Mr. Nguyen, am I saying that right? You guys had to help me out.
Wayne.
Like John Wayne.
Yes.
Wayne.
Okay.
Okay.
I never would have got that one right. All right, Mr. Wayne. So I'm going to go over some information with you, then I'm going to get back with you on that information. This is a hearing. You've been certified for a hearing for regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest, sir. This is actually, you're currently serving a sentence for murder in the first degree, sir.
Attempted murder.
Okay, you have murder in the first degree, offense committed, attempt to commit murder, and then you also have a aggravated assault that you have a sentence on. It appears those sentences are running concurrent to each other, sir.
Yes, sir.
According to your institutional progress report, sir, it states that if released, you would move in with your wife in Phoenix and look for employment as a house painter since you have experience in that field. It says that you do have a ICE detainer, sir. Do you know what that ICE detainer is actually for, sir?
I attend that for deportation. I have seen the immigration judge in 1996, and they said after I got my town, they're going to deport me back to Vietnam, and I have no idea from them, so.
Okay. So, sir, it says that on your comments that you have had some incidents of while you were incarcerated, you did receive some tickets according to your progress report. Looks like the last ticket you had was in 1999. Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir, we have all this.
And there was a refusal to work when you received that ticket at that time. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now on your progress report, it doesn't show that you had any discipline tickets. As I'm looking at your Ames report, sir, according to your Ames report, looks like that in July of 17, you received a ticket and it was a minor that you were found guilty for unauthorized
smoking.
And then in August 11th of 2016, sir, you received a ticket for fighting, sir. What was that about?
Oh, that I had deputy wardens overturned the ticket that the individual came to my house and attacked me at night. And I had sent you a copy to the deputy warden that dismissed the ticket and no censor. but I believe we got one by 2 months.
Okay, and then it looks like you had another in May of 2016, sir. You had another unauthorized smoking, but it looks like that was informally resolved. Then you had one for a violation, but it was dismissed. Those were,
yes, sir.
And sir, you didn't have any other violations until 07, looks like, or 09.
Yes.
You had a long period of time, sir, without any violations. Is there a reason why you all of a sudden in the last year come up with these tickets, sir?
At the time, I
didn't
tell my 15 years, I guess, so frustrated. I told my lies, I had no chance to get out, and I lost everything, my future, my life, my family, my son, my wife, and just asked stupid, and I said I have no future, then suddenly, at 2:09, I have met a woman that had a dissertation, so then I get married with her at 2:09, and after that sentence, I just, she talked to me, keep me calm down, and after I take a lot of classes in here, that's helping me to get my situation, and that's it. Since you and I get just a few tickets to the prison there in 2017, sir.
Okay, so I see that, as I'm looking through your file, that I did error earlier. I did say this is a hearing that you had a hearing for, absolute discharge or regular parole, sir. You do not have, because of the detainer that you have, you do not have the option for home arrest because of the detainer that you have, so you can only go for parole or absolute discharge. And it looks like in August of 95, sir, you had a special hearing that was not recommended to the governor. And then in September of 2016, sir, you came before this board for a regular parole or absolute discharge hearing. That was denied. At that time, you are recertified for a parole hearing. You were recertified on September 20th of this year, sir. I see that there are some training classes that you have actually taken. It looks like in 2016, sir, that you had several classes, one on social changes, had one on self, and you have to, these things are abbreviated, so I think you had one on for thanking for, and then you had all of these classes between 1, 2, 3, 4. Looks like you had about 5 classes between last year and this year, sir. Is there a reason why you decided to take those classes now?
Yes, sir.
And what is that?
I've been taking last to start at 2:05, but as a thing is straight, a smart group. And substance abuse sometime at 2:05, even I'm not having a problem with the substance abuse. And I said, anyway. And see, my last class is taken in 2017, and I did around November. I mean, 2016, that's around November to December.
So those classes helped you, sir?
Yes, it's helped me a lot. I actually need to tell you that it's completely changed me inside and outside. I appreciate that what the AC have helped me for that little classes, and I really thank you.
Okay, this was an incident that involved a shooting outside of a pool hall, sir. Can you just, in your own words, tell us a little bit about what occurred during that time, sir?
Well, I believe that's in July 1987. That's his incident.
In July of
1987, July.
1988.
87, sir, I believe so.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That individual that After an shooting, as I come to my workplace, I was working at the bar, the club in the 16th Street in Thompson. And he had been there and had caused so many problems more than 3 times. And somehow, one the last time I asked the security guards to remove him out of the bar, then he looked at me and told me that he gonna get me for it. And about 2 weeks later, and we met again on the floor at Timberback in 37 or something like that. And we get exchanged some work and we take it outside. And that's happened from there. And I want to shoot him, but in that moment, a split second, and I just took my line dancer and I just deflected. And it's happened, and I pretty regret for that every day for doing that.
Okay, so this is an incident that involved something that happened, did you say, 2 weeks before?
Yeah, 2 weeks before, I worked there in the club.
And when you worked in the club, you worked in the club as, what did you do? What was your job in the club?
As a bouncer, something like that, you know, because that's my part-time job. I work Monday to Friday,
Uh-huh.
And that's my part-time job, just a Friday to Sunday night, so just make extra money, and the individual just cause too much problem and scare the customer away too many times, and we ask him to leave, and last time that's he got mad, he got upset when I asked him to leave, and he said go get me.
Okay, so at this time, I'm going to see if the board members have any additional questions. Mr. Quinones?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Wayne?
Yes, sir.
I just have a question, and it is with deep respect. I love culture and learning about people, but this particular pool hall, was it very closed to the Vietnamese community, or was it just a general sort of a pool hall where all kinds of people visited and played pool?
Well, actually, yes, they welcome to anybody, but the most is the Asian, you know, they play that type of pool hall. Then, yes, that's the most, on the weekends, most the single people, Vietnamese, they just hang around and, you know, have some fun.
Is there a lot of betting on the games?
Oh, some of them, they check, sometimes they do. Yeah, they did. Just whoever lost type of the drink or the table, or they can bet something else, try gambling.
And so when this shooting incident happened, were you working as a bouncer at that time?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I guess I didn't completely understand. What was the conflict over? What was the reason for the conflict?
The reason is that the individual that I shot him, that he got in a fight with the other individual, which is a Mexican and the white people, for some time that I don't know. They talk about the girl. And when I see the individual that I shot him, Tung Nguyen, that he picked up the bottle, the beer, empty beer bottle, tried to hit the individual. And I saw that I go come wrap his arm. And he looked around and he told me that's none of my business. So he pushed me away and I go looking for the security guard. Then I find a security guard and I bring him to it. I saw it and told the security guard that this individual started to fight with the other group of people. And that was it from there on. And the security guard, you know, asked him to leave. He didn't want to leave because he was drunk and get high last time. And security guards get so messed up, so you know, so angry at him that he keep asking him to leave, and now he refused to leave, and the security guard picked him up and just tossed him outside the front door. Then from there, that's the problem start. And he's still, even he's outside, he's still looking at the window, at a little screen window, and he's looking at him, I'm standing right in the front door, and I see him, he see me. I said, I don't know what he said, but he just, you know, did a finger like a gun, you know, she would have answered, one of the videos, that's what he kind of sued me, and he go get me, so there's happened. And 2 weeks later, and I saw him as a fool, a kid, and then we take it from there.
Thank you so much, Mr. Wang.
You're welcome, sir.
Mr. Inhouse.
Yes, sir. Mr. Wang, I read a synopsis of what happened when the shooting happened. And I think I remember, I may be confused, but I think I remember that the man that was shot was running away across the street, maybe. Is that right? And he got shot in the back, like the lower part of his back. But it didn't kill him. But then I also, did I read that a car drove by and shot some more at him? So can you tell us what happened? What really happened?
Well, as we get it, we have the only one in the house inside, and we take it outside.
Right.
Outside front door, out of parking lot. And as I come, just talking about, you know, I just say whatever happened 2 weeks before at the bar, it's not my decision to kick him out, because security guard, that's the one they kick you out, because they get mad, gets upset at me over there.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but he got to kick out, because that's happened many times. And, you know, a scared customer, you know, that's in the business, and that's all we do. We ask him to do it nicely. Then, yeah, we met 2 weeks later, and that night we called outside at the parking lot. We talking, and some to the left to another. Then we get out a gun. And I struck it with him, wrestling with him, and I told him he got a gun and tried to pull out something in his pocket. Then that happened. Then he let me go here. When I got a gun from the car, from my friend's car, then he saw that we got a gun, and his friends, they got a gun too, and that's time to get in the car. They drive along the sidewalk on the northbound to the 7th Avenue. Then some of the victim and some of his friends running to get further with that van, through that car, and the windows from the shop from them, from that direction, and that's why I was the shop from there through there, and while I get the gun, and I just saw, I don't aim at nobody. Just shouting, listening, and while people running, that's the reason that he got hit in the back, and it's not intentional.
Right.
So
right.
I'm sorry for that.
So who shot the other shots, not the ones that hit him? Who did those shots?
Some of my friends and some of his friends.
Okay, so it was just kind of a gunfight out
there.
Yes,
yes.
Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Wang.
Okay, Mr. Wang, now, so according to the pre-sentence investigation reports, it states that were you related to this, to the victim?
No, sir. We just have the same last name.
You just have
that's the mom's name, yeah.
Yeah, you just have the same last name. Okay, so according to the pre-sentence report, the victim, when he was shot in the back. He was running away. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so why did you continue to shoot at him while he was running away?
Now it's come to the shooting. He said when he got hit and he fell on the route, and he said he see the suspect, which is me, get on the car and drove by and shoot him two more.
Right.
So after he got hit.
Right.
And he said I continue to shoot at him. And he gave too many as the version to the detective that I get on the car with the two of that Supra supposed to, and drive by shooting him two more times and left the same. But I don't know that. It's not my, maybe a group of people after my, maybe my friends. Then at least, and when the detective come to my local player at bar, looking for the people trying that car, as he said, the top of two, three different individuals is not my name on that truck, on that car. And that's the description that the victim top tier of detectives where I work and where they're looking for me, where they saw me. And by last time, yes. And even when he talked to the detective at the Aswanis, he never mentioned about it. And the jury is not found me, not found me guilty of that thing. On that second trial, and we saw. And I have sent you on a paper and to clarify due to you that the Aguirre saw that they dismissed this trial not guilty. I hope I have cleared with you with that, sir.
Okay. So were you guys involved in a gang or what is it? What was it?
Actually, I wasn't. I cannot tell myself as against them because I work Monday to Friday.
Okay.
And I work overtime Friday to Sunday night to get extra money to help my parents in Vietnam, my brother and sister, you know, and just 4 or 5 of us, my other friends, they got a job from IAD. You know, I don't want to sit myself against them. But the victim, yes, you know, you have to escape. You have to look at this paperwork that's he's up against them, and I had a job where she cost before. Then, yes, I'm not consistent against her, sir. But some other little whispers that they can consider as the victim is the gangster on the police report. And I hope you get one there, too.
Okay. So I'm going to see if the board has no additional questions, sir. I'm going to go to, you do have some supporters here that are here on your behalf, sir. I'm going to go to your supporters at this time, and I'm not going to give them an order to come up in, but if you would please come up and speak and state your name at the time you come to the mic.
Good afternoon, or good morning, I should say. My name is Brad Welker. I am a friend of the family, and I've known Tom for several years now. And as you notice, you already discussed that he's made some changes, drastic changes, throughout his sentencing in the past several years. That's due to, you know, his upcoming this trial and this hearing, and you know, he wants to show that he's made some changes. And he's, from my understanding, again, I haven't known him his entire life, but he's made drastic changes through this entire process during his incarceration, and he's very remorseful. We speak to him sometimes at least once a week, if not more. Any chance he gets to call his family members, he does do that on a regular basis. And we give him advice and guidance on when he should take place, and, you know, in order for him to be released, and that is to participate in these classes and work and do what's needed to be done, and again, not receiving tickets. And he does show his frustration that it's not easy being in prison, and there's boredom and there's frustration that's involved, and is, you know, being locked up and not having your freedom, and that's the reason why he's had some of these tickets. And but again, he's also shown remorseful at the same time, you know, that he's felt bad for what's been done, the reason why he's here, and also for these tickets he received. He has a lot of family support through several states here in the United States, as well as in Vietnam. He has a family, his parents are in Vietnam. He also has other family members in Vietnam, as well as in Texas, here in Arizona, in California. And you know, it's unfortunate they couldn't make it today. They do have his support and have his back. It's just they were either out of town or, you know, due to work or family. But he has tremendous support to back him up if he ever is released, and we will have his back and help and support him and whatever needed to take place in order, you know, to him to strive in the outside world. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Board, have any questions?
No.
Okay, who'd like to come up next? Thank you, sir.
Hi, my name is Tiffany Pack, and I'm his cousin. I was here last year. Thank you for seeing us again and giving him this opportunity again. I just like to say that he's very remorseful for what he did, and all I want to do is to get out and see his son. He has a son he hadn't seen for like 20 some years, and his mom and dad in Vietnam. I just wanted to get out and make money and support his mom and dad. They're really old. And I just like to say that when he committed this crime, he was very young. And when he came to this country, he was very young. And he had no support, no parental, he had no parents here. And he had no parent support at all. So I just want to take it in consideration. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Can I ask you a question? So, if he was released, he's probably going to be deported. Well, he may be deported. I don't know. Maybe deported back. So, does he have family there?
Yeah, his mom and dad's over there. They'll be happy to see. Either if he's here or there, no matter. It's just his mom and dad is like they are very old, and they really wanted to see him before they. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it don't matter if he get out here, we'll be here for him, we'll support him all the way, or over there in Vietnam, no matter what.
Okay, thank you. Hi, my name is Tina Nguyen. I am Lan Nguyen's niece. First of all, thank you for your time and consideration. Of course, you guys know he came here when he was young. Not only that, there is a language barrier. As you can tell by this hearing, not a lot of questions that you guys asked him was responded correctly, whatnot, or not to the point. So there is a cultural, a language, and when he came to the United States, he was alone by himself. As far as, you know, mom and dad, brother and sister, he was the only one from his family to actually come to the United States. But here he had my mom, my parents, his aunts, his uncle, his cousins, his nieces and nephew. We all come together and support him. And I just want you guys to know that when he was not involved in any kind of gang, it's just a clique, like his friends, you know? Of course, when he did, because he came here without any parents, no guidance, you know, no one could really tell him what to do, you know? They're not really his parents. They're not his, you know, guardian, whatnot. So he's straight. That was the fact. He found, you know, support with, you know, the wrong crowd. So, and it so happens that, you know, they did what they did. But I just want you to know that he was really young, and you know, it's been close to 30 years. Since then, and he's grown a lot. He has a son, his name is Michael, and my uncle was incarcerated when my cousin was not even 1 year old yet, just a couple months. So throughout, he's missed out on his son growing up, and you know, that's, to me, that's heartbreaking. And you know, it's just, we're very supportive of him. And just that alone, he has not seen his parents since he left his home country. And he came over as the boat people, escaping a, you know, the communists, you know. And from there, came here, then this is what happened, you know. We can't change what happened, but, you know, he's willing to make, you know, the right choices now. He's mature, he's older, and, you know, I really think he deserves a chance to, you know, be a free man and just, you know, join society again. You know, see his mom and dad, see his, you know, brothers and sisters in Vietnam, see his aunt here, my aunt, his aunt can't make it, that's my great aunt. His aunt can't make it, his cousins, we have a lot of family here. And they've been here for, what, I'm 36? So they've been here 38 years. And the 38 years that he's been here, he's been incarcerated that whole time, so he missed everything. So I want to thank you for your time.
Okay, thank the board. Have any questions?
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else wish to speak? Okay, Mr. Wynn, we're going to come back to you, sir. I'm going to ask you a couple more questions and give you an opportunity to see if the board wants anything else. So, sir, what happened to the gentleman who gave you the gun? Your friend who gave you the gun?
Yeah, I know it, but he started charging.
He wasn't?
I'm looking for him, and he started charging. He didn't get out of the state.
Okay.
And so I took the weapon. And as I said, I take responsibility for what I mean for today that have caused the victim injury. And I'm remorseful over that. And I'm sorry. And I ask for your forgiveness. And also to the victim and his family. Even the victim is no longer with us. And I still think about him every morning. That they have passed away, but that I wish and I saw him, but I still remorse. And every day I wake up, I look around, that's around me. I know I'm still in prison, and I know what I'm here for, and so I want to make a change. I want to be a better person, so that's what I'm trying to be from now on. And I hope you and the board member give me that chance. And so I start over my life, and not just that, it's my mom and my dad in Vietnam, as you know, we have to see for almost 40 years now. And it's hard for me, my mom, that I didn't see her, that she barely see. She can see well because she has a glaucoma. And the doctor said that someday that she will black out, she can see no more. But that's she said that someday that she will see me again before she will go to blind or so she will die. So that's hard for me. So now to me, I know I may got a bad mistake in my life. But I deserve to be punished or tortured, but I'm asked for your kindness. Not just for me, but for my parents, for my loved ones, for my family, that love support me. And I ask for you for greatness. And thank you.
So you've been incarcerated for about 29 years?
About 26 years or so.
36 years?
26.
Yes.
26.
26.
I rounded up, sorry.
That's the head time of my life. I'm 54 years old, so yes.
So, sir, you also were on probation at the time this incident occurred from Texas for a sexual assault charge, sir. Do you recall what that was about?
Yes, sir. Well, that's not, you know, it's 84, 83, I remember that I have no. I don't know nothing about the law. You know, I thought just like Vietnam. So like Vietnam, I had a girlfriend, she's 14, 15 is not my age. You know, and this one, she's 16, and I don't think about us breaking the law. I thought as long as she, you know, consented to have sex with me. So that's what I thought. And when I find out in Texas is with the consent is 17, you know, and I was 19 the last time, and I know nothing about, I'm not trying to excuse, but the law, so I'm not pretty good with law, and I'm really sorry for that.
Okay.
And they charged me for that sexual contact with a minor, and that's why they gave me 8 years probation.
Okay. Okay, so you also had one charge of carrying a concealed weapon, too.
They never charged me that, sir.
What happened with
they
that?
They never charged me that.
They didn't charge you?
They never charged me.
Okay, all right.
No, sir.
All right, sir. Does the board have any additional questions? Sir, before we go into discussion, I want to give you the opportunity, sir, to is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself, sir?
Well, and as you know, this happened almost 30 years ago, and as I say, I was young and risky and stupid. So I'm thinking what I'm doing, and I was getting good at friends, you know, I just tried to make a living, and that individual, I'm not trying to blame on him, but that's where it's happened. It's common. And I take the full duties, full responsibility for the action that I have caused the individual with it and have changed his life. And I'm sorry for that. And as you know, I am now, is not where I am before, started a year ago. I'm a person. A new man, a new person. I have more I have more, you know, responsible, respectful, and wiser decision on the trust I have back to. And I ask for a favor, please give me the chance, and I promise with you, I never let you down, or my family, and my commitment that I never, ever, commit a crime or violation, probation, or fraud again, as I promised, if you give me a chance. Thank you for having me.
Okay, sir. Thank you. The board's going to go into discussion at this time, sir. While the board's in discussion, Mr. Nguyen, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone. However, to remain silent while the board's in discussion, sir. Just while the board's in discussion, we'll make a determination whether to deny or grant you parole at this time, okay? So remain on the phone. The board's now into discussion. So after reviewing this, Mr. Nguyen is serving a life sentence for attempt first-degree murder as well as assault. He was found guilty in a jury trial, during which time those sentences were to run concurrent with each other. His sentence began back in September 10th of 1991, but upon review and talking with Mr. Nguyen, this is an incident that occurred 2 weeks after the incident occurred at a restaurant where he was working at. There was an altercation between the victim and some other people at the restaurant. Mr. Nguyen tried to intercede, call the police, and as a result of him calling the police, 2 weeks later he was at a pool hall and he ran into the victim along with some of the victim's friends, and according to the documentation, Mr. Nguyen had someone ask the victim to come outside so they could talk and try to get over the problems that they had at the restaurant. While they were outside, Mr. Nguyen says that the victim came out and was ready to fight. He had taken off his shirt as if he was ready to fight. When he came outside, they got into it. While they were there, Mr. Nguyen's friend pulled out a gun and shot it into the air. When that happened, the victim and his friend started to run away. Mr. Nguyen's friend then gave him the gun and told him to shoot, and he fired, you know, 3 shots in the direction of the victim. One of the shots did strike the victim
in the back, and as a result of that, Mr. Nguyen was charged with attempt first-degree murder, as well as aggravated assault, because the people were actually running away from the scene. He's been in prison for a considerable amount of time. He came over here. He didn't really have an understanding, but I do think that, according to some of his supporters who spoke, that Mr. Nguyen just got involved with the wrong people during the wrong period of time while he was actually here. Mr. Nguyen has been, with the exception of some of the tickets that he received for mainly smoking, but he has been taking some classes, trying to better himself, get himself together. He does have a hold on him, a detainer by ICE detainer on him, so I have no idea whether he'll be deported or what would happen to him if he was placed on parole, or if he was actually going to be deported back to Vietnam, if he was actually released back. But after talking and listening to Mr. Nguyen and his supporters, if he was placed on parole here, he does have a great support system here to assist him when he was here. His young man came over here and didn't take long to get himself in some trouble. But I think that Mr. Nguyen is sincere that he's not going to violate parole or do anything else to get himself in trouble. So I'm leaning toward granting Mr. Nguyen the parole. However, I am willing to listen to the rest of the board. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Johnson, I would just also mention, to make sure it's on the record, that he's prepared a very nice, very thorough packet about, you know, his plans. Got a little bit about plans and then a lot of letters of support in this packet with a lot of detail, and he obviously put a lot of thought into it, so I just wanted to make sure that got on the record. I, you know, the fact that there's the detainer and the unknown factor with that is a little, you know, would just be of a concern for, and specifically, I don't think this would happen, but knowing there is a detainer, would ICE be waiting at the gate that day? Or I don't quite know how that works.
So. I don't, it's been my understanding, there's no guarantee that ICE will pick them up.
Wouldn't even be there.
Mr. Right? Westby, so, we can come out, Mr. Westby, you could answer, but that's why I was concerned that he does have a lot of community support, you know, here.
Yeah.
And he was placed on parole, so if ICE doesn't pick him up, that he does have some support. I'm really not that in favor of when they have a detainer, putting them on parole,
right,
especially when they don't have any family support. That bothers me, but he does have
family support.
He has some good letters in there that he's put some things together for it, so.
Anyway, thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Quinones?
Just briefly, I certainly don't want this to be an excuse, but I empathize that he came from a very, very different culture into this country, and seemed to be operating under a different set of, like, mores, and does it make it okay? He has to live with the consequences of his actions in our system of laws, but I do empathize with that, and I think that I think he's sincere about his intentions, and plus has good family support.
Okay, therefore I am going to make a motion to grant Mr. Nguyen general parole, since he's only eligible for general parole or absolute discharge. He's not eligible for the home arrest because of the detainer.
Although our paper says home arrest, doesn't it?
Does it?
No. What's 411? No, 411?
It just says absolute, no, absolute discharge.
That's okay.
Absolute discharge.
I stand corrected.
Right. It just says for absolute discharge or regular parole.
Okay.
That's been kind of like when they have a detainer, one of the issues of, mm-hmm, of home, yeah, arrest with the...
I don't want to belabor this. I don't think the fact that there's a detainer should be a reason to never give anyone a shot at parole. I'm just saying that as one individual board member.
So therefore, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to grant Mr. Nguyen parole, regular parole, general parole, and I'm going to say that he has to follow all mandatory DOC sanctions. No alcohol use, needs assessment and referral counseling if he's able to get it. Random tests for drugs. Oh, this is all home arrest, I'm sorry.
You're standing up for a second.
Huh?
I'm just standing up for a second.
Well, it does have a regular parole, so this is outcast, right? If deported, no illegal re-entry, must satisfy his detainer. This guy must satisfy warrant and detainer. Partake in available programming as directed. Those will be unless the board sees some additional ones that we may need to add in there. That would be...
Should we say no motor vehicle?
No motor vehicle.
I'm just to consider.
Yes.
At least until for a little while.
May not operate a motor vehicle.
Right.
So those would be, that would be my motion. Those would be the conditions along with the amended conditions of his release.
And did you check no contact with victim and family? You did probably, but...
No, I didn't.
It's...
No contact with victim's
family. Victim or
family,
right.
And pay restitution if there is restitution?
Yes, there is.
Okay, let's pay restitution. And that he has a $65 parole fee to pay monthly to start after 60 days of the release. So, Mr. Wynn, the board has voted to grant you general parole service with some special conditions. I'm going to read those special conditions to you, that you need assessment and referral counseling, vocational education, no alcohol use, random tests for drugs. Alcohol must satisfy your detainer. If deported, no illegal re-entry. May not operate a motor vehicle. No contact with the victim's family. If you have, you must pay your restitution, must satisfy your warrant and detainer, and partake in available programming as directed. Sir, do you understand those conditions of your release?
Yes, sir, I do. Thank you.
And then also, I want to mark on here, so I did have mark, but I didn't read it. Follow all mandatory DOC conduction conditions and sanctions, sir. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand that we're not sure, but you do have an ICE detainer? If you are deported back to Vietnam, sir, that you're not to return back here again? Illegally return?
Yes, sir, I do.
You understand that?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, sir. That's the decision of the board. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir. Thank you for participating in your hearing. I want to thank the supporters for taking the opportunity and time to come out and participate in the hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless. Thank you.